I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig. Presented by G2G Bars. On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It is Unrivaled 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. What's up, Scott Mitchell?
Well, 2 days and my daughter gets married.
Oh,
we have people coming in from all over the country.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Well,
my sister drove in from Arizona.
I feel like there's a punchline here.
There is.
Oh boy.
So she's just leaving Tucson. She's going 85.
Yeah. Oh.
In a 75. And
is that what it is? Down
highway
there?
Patrolman who pulled her over. Said, I finally clocked you at 87.
Oh.
That was your max speed. And he goes, you off in a rush somewhere? And she goes, well, my
niece is getting married.
My niece is getting married.
In 10 minutes.
And he goes, well, where? And she goes, in Springville, Utah. And he goes, oh, I'm sorry.
Ah.
And she goes, well, why? And he goes, well, I'm originally from there.
Oh, wow.
But then I moved to Spanish Fork. And then my sister says, well, oh, I'm sorry.
So this is an Arizona highway patrolman? This is, or is this a
this
Utah
is right
guy?
Outside of Tucson. This
okay,
is,
so it's an Arizona.
So she's in right. Tucson, Arizona, being pulled over from a highway patrolman who grew up in Utah. And then he goes, well, what's your last name? And she says, well, it's Tanner, but my maiden name was Mitchell. And she goes, do you know who Scott Mitchell is?
Oh boy, she's using you to get out of the ticket.
And he goes, "Have a nice day."
Oh,
slow down. Have a nice day.
You got your sister out of a ticket. It's a good day.
I don't get myself out of a ticket.
No. Listen, my mother-in-law is really funny because she'll get pulled over, and my mother-in-law's a very good-looking woman, and she never gets out of a ticket. There's not one thing she can do or say. But my father-in-law. He's always got like a, I'm on the way to the hospital. Gosh, you got to deliver a baby. And they're like, all right, okay. You know, like there's always something. He gets out of everything. And then sometimes he'll just be like, you know, I apologize. I was going slow. The guy goes, hey, you're all right. You just take it easy and slow down a little bit. But like she gets tickets all the time. So I don't know what the rhyme or reason
combative.
Is. She's not.
Nah,
she has a good She has a great sense of humor. And so usually she rolls out the humor. And I'm telling you.
They don't want humor.
No.
No, don't patronize. You don't patronize the law enforcement folks.
My wife is always like, I got pulled over. I go, did you get a ticket? She's like, it was a female it was a female officer. You're dang right. I got a ticket. I wasn't getting any leeway. All right, Scott, we got a lot to get through on the show. The show is always brought to you by G2G Bars. Plenty of protein, awesome snack for you, awesome meal replacement. We've been super excited to have these guys join the program. They are a local company. You can find them, of course, in all of your Associated Foods, your refrigerated sections of your Holiday Oils, your Mavericks, all of those. Costco's. So get to it. Let's get it going. Let's jump into the show here with the cut at the top of the program right off the bat. Let's just get it going.
There we go.
The unquestioned. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it. The Cut, presented by University of Utah Health at University of Utah Health. You get the same great care that the Jazz, RSL, and the Utes all trust. Visit uofuhealth.org for more information. uofuhealth.org. Proud sponsors of The Cut. So, the Pac-12 and how they started things off with their out-of-conference schedule, their non-conference schedule, has actually been really, really good for the conference. I think people saw the Georgia loss week one. I mean, the Oregon loss to Georgia week one, and they went, oh, boy. But despite kind of a slow start in some of these games, UCLA is still undefeated. Oregon State looks sharp. I think everybody knows that Oregon is kind of back to a little bit more of their form. Washington State is undefeated and also beat a ranked Wisconsin team. Are they not in the – hold on. Is Wazoo in the top 25 yet? If they beat a ranked Wisconsin team, how are they not in the
– What's
the deal?
You have Utah, Oregon, USC are in the top 25, okay? There are all the undefeated teams that aren't ranked.
Yeah.
Or are undefeated, actually. Because right. You have Oregon
that
has a loss. You have Utah that has a loss. But Washington undefeated, Oregon State, Washington State all undefeated.
Insane.
Not ranked.
Washington is ranked. Yeah, Washington's in the AP poll. Yeah. They're ranked.
No, someone else is undefeated.
Oh, yeah, Wazoo. It's Wazoo who's undefeated, but they're not in the top 25. Now, they are getting votes, so they would be – they're in line here, so they'd be in 30th, ranked 30th right now if that were the case. So that's what you're looking at. You should be super excited about this if you're a Pac-12 fan.
Right, but here's the crazy thing. USC's playing Oregon State.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a few years ago, you'd go, that's like a cupcake win, easy garbage game. No one wants to see that. And really, of all of the matchups in the conference, like this weekend, you'd say that's like one of the top games,
right? So they put it on Pac-12 Network at noon.
Now this is something that I got an education on that I didn't really know this.
How they pick games and how they flex
so
those games.
There's a contractual obligation to have so many games on the Pac-12 Network in a season
for every school,
for just the conference, right? So you have. You don't want to burn those games like you say, well, yeah, let's not do Oregon State and USC.
Let's just have Colorado in that slot every week.
Sure, right.
that's what I always think.
So they want to get some of these games out of the way because down the road, USC-Utah big game, right?
And they're Utah's not going to put that on the Pac-12.
No, now. And so they want to make sure that they're reaching their contractual obligation. But still, the conference is still having that high exposure for those really, really big marquee games that they're going to have down the road. And Oregon, guess where Utah and Oregon is next week?
Where?
Or, I'm sorry, Utah and Oregon State next week?
Oh.
On the Pac-12 Network.
And that's a good freaking game. And that's a noon kick, too?
A noon kickoff.
Oh, my gosh.
But it's that whole thing that, you know, so.
They got to do it. They got to figure it out.
Oregon State is. Learning that you gotta earn it to get respect.
But
right?
You know, I think that I mean we saw this a couple of years ago. We were like, I like what Jonathan Smith's doing at Oregon State.
Yes.
But now it's not just a throw that out there in the ether and hope that it sticks, which is kind of what it was at the beginning. Because you go, he's got these guys turned around and doing something. But Oregon State is legitimately a threat to USC. I mean, when I say legitimately, I mean like they've actually won more games in the last year than USC has the last 2 years. Than USC has.
And think about Oregon State was the only team to win the Pac-12 champion last year.
Yeah, they beat Utah. So
they own Utah right now because they beat them, right? So they have that psychological advantage over Utah right now because Utes lost to them a year ago.
Is that really a thing? You own us right now?
Well,
I think it's actually a disadvantage because that's when.
It's the kids use these days.
I know, but
it sounds good.
But it's one of those you don't want.
It's in your head mentally. That's what I mean.
I get it.
Because you can't argue it.
It's actually a disadvantage for Oregon State, I think, because then Utah comes in licking their chops, and you're like, come on, we're trying to get through. We want a 9-win season. Could you just let us like off the hook a little bit? We don't want to beat you guys here in Salt Lake City. We just don't want to get embarrassed.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office.
To meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Please not embarrass us.
Sure, but right now, like, BYU owns Utah. Even though Utah has won, what, like, I don't know, 15 of the last 18 games, you know.
Just, irrelevant. Irrelevant.
It doesn't matter.
Jeremy, get that drop when Scott says BYU is way better than Utah. Is that what it was?
No. But and they just do, because they're going to go, Utah's going to go, but we went to the Rose Bowl. We won the Pac-12. And they're right. Going to go, yeah, and we beat you.
Okay.
As long as the team has beaten you, they're in your head. You can't argue it.
You tell me who's real then. Out of those teams, out of your undefeated teams you have in the Pac-12 right now, is Wazoo real?
Okay, let me put it to you this way. I think they're a team you got to watch out for. If you don't show up, they can beat you, yes.
Okay,
so they're a real team. But if you want to rank them, I would say they're probably the lowest of all of the real teams
undefeated
in the Pac-12.
Okay.
Is probably Washington.
What about UCLA? Are they real?
I would actually put, okay, I changed my mind.
Okay, I
think they're a little bit higher than Washington State, okay. But no, I don't think they're much higher. Right, so those were the teams. Oregon State, Washington State, UCLA. All undefeated but unranked.
But see, and UCLA's not getting votes even for the AP poll. Because they're,
especially after last
I
week.
Know, because they're kind of scraping by. Yeah. But Oregon State, they're up there getting votes. Wazoo's up there getting votes. And so when you think about all these teams that are out there kind of repping the conference, okay, so what about Oregon State? They're probably further along in development when it comes to a team that is quote-unquote real, right? I mean, Jonathan Smith has done a fantastic job. Oregon State has put their head down and said, all this noise around the conference, everybody else worries about that. They cannot worry about any of it. One, because they have no control over it. They feel like they're already going to get slighted anyway in some situations, so they just go, who cares? Putting our heads down. And they're a really good football team. That's one you should be scared of. If you're going up to Wazoo is a tall task, because
it's just in the middle.
Pullman
of
Pullman stinks, yeah. and so that's a hard one. But if you are, I mean, we were talking about this the other day. USC avoids Washington. They avoid Oregon, yeah. Right? Now they got to play Utah, and they have to
play at Oregon State,
and so. Those are tough games, but you don't look at the schedule and go, man, Oregon State at Oregon State. Oh, that's a tough one until this year.
Right.
Until, like, just the last few weeks.
And you look at Washington, and Washington actually has a really easy schedule, too, because they don't play USC or Utah on their schedule. So their schedule is actually considered.
That is the most shocking turnaround of all the teams.
I think so.
Because having a brand new coach, having a brand new coach after the way that Jimmy Lake went out, like that hurts a program for a long time.
Right? Didn't it feel like it'd be decades? Like, it just felt like they were going to be in oblivion for a long, long time.
So there was a moment when, you remember Tyrone Willingham when he was the head coach of Washington for a hot minute? And he went 0-12 one
year. Yes.
Okay? Let me tell you how Seattle reacts to an 0-12 Washington team. It is not good, because Washington is a proud place. They're one of the places that fill out those stadiums. It's a beautiful stadium. This is not going to happen soon. This is not going to get turned around soon. But I'm looking at teams that you could potentially, if you're Utah, face in the Pac-12 championship game. And USC isn't the one that you just think, oh, for sure it's going to be those guys. Because it's going to be tough sledding. USC is going to, you watch, because USC hasn't played a team so far that has really challenged them.
Right. So you don't really know how good they are.
We do not know how good they are. Because when you look at it and you go, and that's not me just trying to be rosy about it, but right. 7 is overrated for that USC team.
Yeah.
They're at 7 because of where they started out in the poll, which is already way too highly ranked as well. So if you want to look at USC and say, yeah, they're the number 7 team in the country, I'll tell you, when you see those logos on the AP poll, the media loves it. You see that Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan logos. People are going, oh, now you're talking, right? And then you see Clemson, you go, oh, my goodness. Oklahoma, oh. And then they go, USC's number 7. Oh, my gosh. It's not until you get to number 8, Kentucky, you go, who? Why, what are they doing
all right,
there?
So there's a problem here.
What?
This power ranking has Arizona State at 48 and Washington State at 59.
See, now, yes.
Yeah.
That's not accurate.
It's probably going to.
So here's my question. Because Arizona State is getting Utah at basically the worst time. Utah, I think, is the buzzsaw is whirring up. Like that thing is, you know, when you have to, if you've ever worked one of those wood chippers before, one of the giant ones. The blades are so heavy.
That
must
be your buddy there in the wood chipper.
A little Fargo drop there. But I actually had to operate a wood chipper, like an industrial wood chipper before, okay? So those diesel engines that those things fire up on, they're massive, right? These are like tractor engines. Because the blade is so heavy that when you start pulling that clutch, you got to do it slowly because the clutch has to kind of, because that blade is so heavy. Once it's going, it'll
cut down a tree.
It will. It's hard to stop. And that's Utah right now. Gauged a little bit. You got to be sort of slow at it. But now that it's starting to get going, you watch. This weekend, Arizona State is going to be the victim of unfortunate circumstances of their program being in shambles at the same time that Utah has no time for a team being in shambles. They're just going to mow through these guys.
So here's one that, going back to a team that kind of scares me.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually Oregon State. And I think Jonathan Smith.
I think it's Jonathan.
Jonathan. Jonathan.
Jonathan.
Jonathan.
You know what?
Donovan, Jonathan.
I'm sort of mad I didn't name one of my kids Jonathan.
Jonathan.
Yeah. All right, keep going. He's one of those
Jonathan
guys.
Smith is kind of the Pac-12's version of Kalani Sitake, where it goes back to his alma mater, and I think the personal like history, you know, he's engaged, you know, he has more of a commitment, more of a loyalty, more of a love for the program because he was there as a player. And I think Jonathan Smith has done a tremendous job in a hard place. Like Oregon State was like that was viewed as a hard place to really get excited about football. And I think he's really turned a corner. Now, having transfer portal and all of that stuff certainly helped. And I think he took brilliant advantage of it in getting players that could come in and help him. But
do you remember that?
But he's a guy that's bought into and creating a culture that people can believe in at Oregon State.
Do you remember when Dennis Erickson was the head coach there?
Yeah.
He was the – Jonathan Smith was quarterback during that time that Dennis Smith was up there. But there are these glimpses, these little windows of time that Oregon State has had success. And Jonathan Smith was in one of those little windows,
right,
where they were winning some football games. They were overperforming. They were beating Oregon every other year in the Civil War. And that was just one of those things. You go, look, this is one of those.
I know Washington's like a beautiful place to go to, Alex.
Uh-huh.
Like
you have a Corvallis,
a game. But there's a feel if you go in the fall, and the leaves are changing. I'll tell you what. There's not a more college setting for a football game than Oregon State, and they're revamping their stadium. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's pretty cool.
It is. It's a beautiful place.
Yeah, I mean it's not Lake Washington.
No, it's not. It's not because
I think that's about as good as it gets right there.
But Oregon and Oregon State, I mean, that's going to be that game at the end of the year. It's going to have implications in this game. Last year was almost there, right? Oregon State could have beaten Oregon in that game, and I think that they would have bumped Wazoo into the Pac-12 championship game. Was it something stupid like that where it's like, or somebody was going to be in the Pac-12 championship game against Utah if Oregon would have lost that game?
How do they do the schedule moving forward?
How do they mix it between North and South?
Because there's no North and South. And so you could be like, you could be Washington and you could end up not playing Washington or Oregon.
I think they're going to kind of keep the rotation still on.
Because
I think what happens is you have
some of those traditional rivalries.
Right, and you have a geographical thing where you're like, hey, it's smart because it's like we're traveling the same stuff. Because I think right now, I don't know how far ahead they put the schedule. I don't know how far that Utah, let's look at their schedule for 2024, for example. When you look at the football schedule for 2024, they have everything set already. And, oh my goodness, do you know who they're playing in 2024, the Utes? You ready for this non-conference schedule?
Yeah.
Southern Utah.
Yes, sir.
They return. No, but that's a home and home, so they go down to.
Yeah, whatever.
So that's at Rice-Eccles. The Cougs return back to the schedule, go back up to Rice-Eccles Stadium on the 24th. In 2024. And then they host. So those first three games of the year are Southern Utah, BYU, and Baylor all at home.
Oh.
Yeah, Baylor comes to Rice-Eccles.
Oh.
In 2024. Now, all of the schedule still is set as the same rotation. You're mostly seeing your Arizona State, Colorado, UCLA, Arizona, USC, those all stay on the schedule. But play Oregon State, Washington that year.
USC is gone.
Right. USC is going to be gone. Or USC will be gone from there. And so I don't know that rotation ends up or if they end up getting.
I wonder if you just get the two teams that you wouldn't normally get.
Yeah, they'll have to switch it all around. So, but in the end, like that. By the way, just looking at 2024, throwing out.
Well, everyone would play everyone at that point,
right?
If you had 10 teams in the conference,
is it everybody playing everybody?
Everyone would actually play at that point.
Yeah, there you go.
And you'd have three non-conference.
So you'd throw Stanford in the schedule because it's not currently on the schedule right now. So that's who would be back on the schedule for Utah's.
It's got to be another one.
Is that Stanford game? Another one?
Stanford and somebody else.
Well, Cal's already on the schedule.
Okay, it's got to be someone else.
I don't know what you're referring to.
Well, if there's USC and UCLA and they're going to be gone.
Oh, they're going to be gone. Yes.
So you replace one of those with Stanford and the other team that Utah would not be.
San Diego State, because he'll be in the Pac-12 then. That was not met with. That was not met with a happy face. I got you.
Actually,
it is Washington State. Washington State. Yeah, we'll have to be back on that schedule again. All right, let's take the break here. I think we figured it all out. Hey, San Diego State, Fresno State addition to the Pac-12. Come on,
there's too many state schools in the Pac.
Come on, won't New Mexico State be invited by that point?
Arizona State.
You guys could be headed to Las Cruces,
bro. Bring in Colorado State.
Hey.
Do they have a Wyoming State or just Wyoming?
Is there a Wyoming State? Oh, my gosh.
Is it like in Casper?
The tough thing is that I'm going to look it up, and there probably is a Wyoming State University. Where are you going? WSU. Wyoming State. All right. We'll take the break here. We'll come back. When we return, we got ourselves a little bit of a conversation here to have about Big 12, Pac-12, and streaming rights, and who's going to make the most money off of getting the most exposure. How can you make this thing happen? Stay right here with us. Unravel continues 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.